Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on government intrusion upon liberty and individual rights right after this. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention back in 1787 followed that scriptural principle of law when they put into our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." But back in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. Now, in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents have introduced our current practice of using the first, second, and fifth planks to the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they have given us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coins. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our country, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons that we teach here in our business school. We conduct that twice a year here at the law school. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and then send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Okay, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Now, on our webpage, that free general law CD package is up online now, and so you can download it or you can watch it right there on your computer in the privacy of your own home, and you don't even need a plain brown envelope. All right, we're talking about government intrusion upon liberty and individual rights. It's a treatise written by Joel Skousen. Last time I didn't give you his address, I'm going to do that right now. Joel Skousen, remember, wrote the book on strategic relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. And last week we took a look at his section on nuclear war. I thought it was a good story to do. And then I'm going to do a second story on government intrusion upon your liberty and individual rights by Joel Skousen. Now, his telephone number is 801-224-4746. If you'd like a copy of this treatise, you'll know where to get it. It comes from Joel Skousen. And you can telephone him at 801, get your pencil out there, 224-4746. Now, he's got an email address also, and it's J-O-E-L-S, Joel S, all one word, just J-O-E-L-S, Joel's, at joelskousen.com. J-O-E-L-S at joelskousen, that's spelled S. K-O-U-S-E-N, joelskousen.com. Or you can contact him also by writing to him at 290 West, 580 South, Orem, Utah, 84058. Now, once more, that's Joel Skousen, located at 290 West, 580 South in Orem, O-R-E-M, Utah. Now, Mr. Skousen admitted to us in the last program that he was a conspiracy theorist, and so I said, yep, I'm one of those two. So if you've been looking around trying to find a conspiracy theorist, you have now found two, Joel Skousen and George Gordon. I don't know what his excuse is, but mine follows this line of reasoning. I don't believe that international geopolitical events that we see going on around us and around the world over the past 50 years could happen by accident. You see, the law of averages would say that for every bad event, every bad decision that's made by our government, it would have to be counterbalanced at least accidentally once in a while by a good event or a good policy that would benefit Americans. And I want you out there to write me an email, a letter, or call me on the phone and tell me of one beneficial geopolitical event over the past 50 years that has occurred in favor of the people of the United States of America, either by design or by accident. Name one. Now, when you have a long train of events, and they all occur, and they don't benefit you, either you're off on some kind of a god-awful Job curse, Or there's somebody out to get you. And I think it's the latter. I think there's somebody out to get us here in America, and they are doing a marvelous job. I mean, they are winning hands down. There has not been, to my knowledge, a single geopolitical, economic, or event that benefited the people of America over the past 50 years. Not one. I can't think of one. And I don't think that's happening to us accidentally. I think that it is intentional, that it is being orchestrated by someone or some group somewhere to cause us all this grief. Joel Skousen thinks the same way. So here, then, for those of you out there who have been wondering, what does a conspiracy theorist look like, sound like, act like, speak like? You're listening to one right here, right now, live and direct. Now, I said last time that I was going to put my money where my mouth is. I think I can prove it. I think I can produce the names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence to document my belief in a conspiracy. Why don't you get your pen and paper out here, and why don't you write down your names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence to disprove it. Let's see what they look like when we get through here. Now, Skousen goes on to say, we're on page 145, he says, tracking cover-ups is really good evidence. In some of these books, one can relive history and view the multiple attempts of very high government officials to change the facts, tamper with witnesses, change official reports, kill people who wouldn't cooperate, and in other ways, attempt to deceive the American people. It becomes very obvious that these visible players are all yes-men, even though they were high military and government leaders at the time. These types never do anything without orders from much higher up. This is what unmistakably points to conspiracy. Now, if you read even half of these books, you won't be able to walk away without knowing that some group, somebody out there, is controlling things and doing so in a major way. There will be no other possible explanation. And you'll also come to the inescapable conclusion that whoever does control things is already inside or in complete control over every one of our government agencies that have any significant police power. And no, this is not just a few people controlling hundreds of thousands of completely innocent government leaders. This is a very large group of men and women working in complex, interconnected ways, only a few of which understand the full nature of the conspiracy that they are operating and cooperating in. So let's take a look at the threat. Government itself will only be a threat to a minority of its citizens, those who really suspect what is going on behind the scenes and who are prepared to object in some meaningful way or to engage in some meaningful resistance. This is because the conspiracy fully intends to make sure that they always have believable, normal-looking people at the heads of all governments. This is very important towards their continual efforts to encourage the public, as well as the media, which they directly control for the most part, to disbelieve in the possibility of a conspiracy big enough to control government. So number one, we need to create a conspiracy, but we need to make the conspiracy so benign that no one will believe that it even exists. That's called the perfect crime. Jimmy Hoffa was an example of a perfect murder. Jimmy Hoffa just disappeared. Nobody has ever found his body, so we don't know if he's dead or alive. Now, you don't have to be real smart to figure out that the guy is dead. But you can't prove that. I can't, you can't, neither can anybody else. But, you know, we know from his connections with the underworld, you know, the underground, the mafia and underworld figures and government and so on, he was loved by millions and hated by millions. And so, you know, he's a perfect candidate for a disappearance. And so one day he goes to lunch and then he just disappears. And so this is very typical of a mafia hit. And then not only is it a mafia hit or a killing, a murder, but they dispose of the body and you don't even know that the guy's dead. That's called a perfect crime. We have the same thing here with the conspiracy. We have a conspiracy that is so well orchestrated that no one believes that it even exists. So how in hell are you going to prove that there's a conspiracy? Well, by the events. One of the ways is by the events that unfold. When we take a look at the outcome, and we say, well, gee, that was a bad outcome. Did that just happen accidentally? And it might have. You know, you couldn't say when you get a bad outcome, you know, that it happened on purpose. But when you have multiple bad outcomes, then you have to start asking yourself, wait a minute. There's a limit to the laws of chance. And the chances of 12 bad events happening to you in 12 consecutive occurrences is about 1 in 33 trillion. So if 12 good things happen to you without any bad things, the chances of that happening to you are about 1 in 33 trillion. It's kind of like hitting six numbers in the lottery. The chances of that happening are 1 in 83 million. It isn't very likely that you're going to get six in a row. So when those kinds of events transpire, then you have to start asking yourself, uh-oh, who's making this train run? Now, if you read some of these books on the conspiracy concerning Robert F. Kennedy, John Kennedy, the trade towers, and so on, you know, yeah, could that have happened that way? Yeah, I guess it could have, but did it happen that way? Well, no. No, the trade towers did not fall because they got hot and they pancaked. That isn't the way they came down. You saw it and I saw it. That is not the way a building pancakes down to the ground. So we know that that building was imploded from explosive devices in the buildings. Now, that doesn't happen accidentally. Somebody had to get in there and plant those charges. And furthermore, they had to do it while there were people in the building. How'd they do that? Huh? I have people that ask me, huh? How did they do that? As if I can't answer that, then it didn't happen. So I don't know how they did that. I just know that they did it, and I can prove that by the pictures. And you can see that. Hell, those pictures are out now. In fact, I saw a number the other day. One-third of the people of America have now seen the Twin Towers explosions on videotape in slow motion. So that means that one out of three of you people here in the United States listening to me right now already know that what I'm telling you is true. Now, the other two-thirds don't believe it yet, and that's because, remember vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear? Okay. Vanity prevents you from believing it because you will not admit to yourself that that could be true. I could not have been deceived, and by God, I ain't going to admit it. I did not make a mistake when I voted for George Bush, but I'm never going to admit that I ever voted for George Bush. So. All right, so let's take a look at an important caveat. I don't think the majority of people have the ability or the inclination to come up to the level of intellectual sophistication that it takes to see through a very complex conspiracy, such as we're dealing with here in the West. And sadly, I really think that there is a large number of Americans who are not savvy enough to see what's going on in their country, partly because of their own lack of vision and mostly because of the highly edited version of history that they learn in public schools and their dependence upon the establishment media for news and news coverage of current events. The other night I was watching Marie Bartiromo. She's on NBC News. And she was reporting on the economy. And she was telling us that the stock market's gone up by, I don't know, 15-20%, and it's up to 9,000, and God, the recession is in the wings, but it's on its way out, and everything's going to be fine. I mean, she's a nice girl, and I have children probably as old or older than she is, and God love her, I'm sure her parents love her. But that poor girl, if she believes that report, is as dumb as a box of rocks. And that's assuming that she believes her own report, believes her own press release. I got to thinking years ago that Lyndon Johnson was beginning to believe his own press reports. I mean, he was lying so often, so much to so many, for no good purpose, that he was actually believing his own press reports. I mean, I guess that you can get to that point in time. Now, government itself will only be a threat to a minority of its citizens. It's that minority of citizens. Like, the Catholic Church is only a threat to that minority of people who don't subscribe to Catholic orthodoxy. Catholicism is not a threat to the majority of Christians. Hell, most Christians are Catholics. That's not a problem. But for those of you that hold a different view than Catholicism, you people are all in trouble. Why is that? Vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Those five motivators of human nature. Now, there's just something about being in the majority that requires the majority to enforce that view upon everybody else, whether they like it or not. No room for dissent here. No room for anybody else's opinion. No room for freedom of speech here. And that's why you have hate crimes. People who advance the theory of hate crime legislation are opposed to freedom of speech. You don't agree with me, and we want to pass a law to punish you for your non-belief in my orthodox view, which, hell, may be the truth. May be the truth. But don't liars have room somewhere out there to believe their lies? And what makes all you people out there that have the truth so cocksure that your version out there is true and all the rest of these people out here believe in a lie? I mean, if you stop and think about your religious beliefs now, come on, let's wake up here and smell some coffee. You belong to the Catholic Church, and obviously you got the truth and the rest of us out here are all fools and deceived and so on. So we take a look at all the deceived people. That's all the Protestants. And they're divided up into about 476 different corporations and groups. There's four. There, the last time I saw a number, there's 476 corporation churches in America. They all have a different belief. 476 of these corporations. There's Baptists and Lutherans and Episcopals, and, you know, just go on and on. All right. Now, the Catholics look at the whole group of 476 and say, hell, they're all deceived. They got 476 different deceptions. Each one of the members of one of these 476 groups holds exactly the same view. The other 475 Protestants are deceived, and all 476 of these dissident groups believe the Catholics are deceived. Now, you don't have to be real smart to understand that all 476 of them cannot be correct. Because if any one of them is correct, the other 475 are incorrect. But it could be that all 476 are incorrect, and the truth lies in the 477th, wherever that may be. Now, that's just simple elementary logic. You don't have to be real smart to figure that out. Now, Skousen comes to this conclusion. He says, I don't think the majority of people have the ability or the inclination to come up to the level of intellectual sophistication that it takes to see through a very complex conspiracy such as we're dealing with here in the West. I agree with him. I don't think that's possible either. If it were, we wouldn't have 476 different corporate religious organizations. We might have 9 or 10, but it wouldn't be 476. It is possible that people with sophisticated understanding could come to a different conclusion, but not 476 different conclusions. Now, as a result of this, what do you think the chances of voting the bad guys out? Because I get papers in here every day, and God love you, God love all you people sending me these papers and newsletters. But Bob Chapman is a classic example. In every newsletter, he says, we've got to vote these guys out. We've got to vote them out. Write to your senator. Write to your representative. Write to the president. Tell him to stop this madness, this insanity of national health care insurance. Okay. I agree with you, Bob. God love you. I agree with you. Now, excuse me, Bob, but let's look at this pragmatically. You got 300 million Americans out here, and about 100 million of them are voting age and voters. I was watching the other day, Jay Leno has a segment, you used to have it on the Tonight Show, called Jaywalking. And Jay Leno was out walking around on the streets of Burbank or Los Angeles, and he's just stopping people on the street and asking them questions. There's a young woman here, so and he stops her, and he says, hey, how many stars are in that flag? And across the street, they show the picture of the American flag waving in the breeze. See? And the young woman looks over at the flag. It's waving in the breeze. And Leno now has asked her, how many stars are in the United States flag? And her answer was, and I kid you not, I'm telling you this because it's humorous, but it's tragic. She said, I can't tell because it's moving so fast. I can't count them. Boys and girls, do you need to count the stars in the American flag to tell us how many stars are in it? Now, that young woman more than likely votes. She's an adult, and she's registered to vote, and more than likely she voted. And she's going to decide. She's going to vote. She's going to participate in national health care insurance. Boys and girls, it's my opinion that an American citizen who does not know that there are 50 states in this union and that each one is represented by a star on our flag should not be voting. They're incompetent. They're dumb as a box of rocks. Now, another young person was asked, and we're presuming these people. Now, oftentimes he goes to a college campus, and we presume these are college students. I don't know what the percentage of college graduates is in the United States, but many of these people are college people, college students, college graduates. I don't know how many, but many of them are. And he said, he asked this one young fellow, he said, where would I go in the world to find the Great Wall of China? And the guy thought about it for a while, and he said, I don't know. So Leno gave him a little more of a clue. He said, you think you'd find it in Panama or China? And the guy thought about it, and he said, China? And Leno said, yeah, the Great Wall of China, it's in China. And he asked the same guy this question. He said, where would you think you would find the Panama Canal? And the guy said, China? Now, had he asked this fellow, where would you find the Suez Canal, I could understand him saying, well, maybe it would be in China. Maybe he doesn't know. My boy gave me this little test the other day, and he said, where would you find the Erie Canal? And I said, well, I don't know, son. I remember the Erie Canal from history. It's located, it was built back in the early 1800s, and it's either going to be in New York, Pennsylvania, or Ohio, and it comes out of Lake Erie, and I'm thinking that Ohio. And he said, no, it's Pennsylvania. I said, okay, got me. So I got to confess that I might miss, you know, like anybody else, you know, how many stars are there in the U.S. flag, or where would you find the Great Wall of China, or where would you find the Panama Canal? Now, these people vote, that's the tragedy of it. These people have been dumbed down by the public school system. Now, they probably could tell you a whole lot about Michael Jackson's career, how many hit songs he had or how much money he made. Or, you know, they might know a lot about contemporary events in Hollywood and so things that, in a geopolitical sense, mean nothing. They're meaningless. That's not the reason the Roman Empire failed or collapsed, because the citizens did not know who the greatest pop star in the Roman Empire was. It collapsed because they didn't know their history, didn't know their religion, didn't know their economics. And America's in that same boat. So when Joel Skousen comes along and says, I think that the people of America, the majority, lack the intellectual sophistication that it takes to see through this very complex conspiracy that we're dealing with here in the West, I think he hit the nail on the head. Not only is there a conspiracy, it is so well contrived that the average Joe Sixpack can't figure it out. Marie Bartiromo and the newscasters, many of those people belong to the CFR, one of the conspiratorial institutions. Brian Williams, Katie Couric. They know what the conspiracy is. They are the conspirators. That's why they give you the news that they give you, and they tell you that the American economy is fine, spending $29 trillion has solved our problem, and there's nothing but upwards and onwards from here. The people of America do not understand that America is bankrupt, that the American dollar is on the verge of collapse, and that we are going into national captivity. But you can rest assured that Brian Williams and Katie Couric not only know it and understand it, they are the precipitators of it. Now, not all by themselves, because that's what a conspiracy is. A conspiracy is two or more persons involved in a common enterprise. The destruction of the American economy, boys and girls, is occurring right in front of your eyes deliberately. The president's policies of spending America into bankruptcy is not occurring accidentally or because the president is ignorant. You do not become president of the United States by being ignorant or stupid. And Barack Obama is neither. He knows full well what he's doing, and he's working with the insiders on Wall Street to destroy the American economy. It's done pursuant to an agenda. That's a conspiracy. Now, there's an end coming to this. And, of course, Joel Skousen's pointing this out. And he's saying, hey, how's that going to impact upon you and me? Better wake up here. And let's see now, how is Georgie Gordon and little Joel Skousen going to fare out when national health care insurance is imposed upon us? When the economy collapses and the dollar goes to zero? When your 401k and your Kroger plan are wiped out, what are you going to do next? Now, you and I have to have a solution or an answer to these questions and these problems. Now, you may not understand who's doing what to who, and you may not be able to name the conspirators by name, but my God, you know, surely, somewhere along the line, you came up with enough common sense that you can see when a number of bad things happen to us, somebody must be orchestrating them. Okay, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, non-state schools and all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967, or you can download it directly from our webpage at georgegordon.org. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then we invite you to go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about government intrusion upon your liberty and individual rights, a treatise by Joel Skousen. You can go to J-O-E-L-S, Joels, at joelskousen.com to get the name and address if you like a copy of the treatise. It's in the book that he wrote, which is called Strategic Relocation, Your North American Guide to Safe Places. And his telephone number is 801-224-4746. Again, that's area code 801-224-4746. He's got a treatise in here on the conspiracy theory. He's a conspiracy theorist, and I said, well, I'm one too. Now, here's an important caveat. When I speak of conspiracy, he says, I do not mean to say that everything is controlled or planned. Those that conspire have a definite direction in which they're headed. In this case, a new world order of nations completely under state and statist control, which will not change even when leaders change. All conspiracies must learn to deal with events beyond their control, not only natural disasters, but a sudden emergence of truth that begins to awaken the masses. In controlling financial markets, they often make mistakes that allow economic fundamentals to rise up and partially undo their plans and timetables. This forces them then into a defensive intervention mode. Sometimes the conspiracy will even allow a natural economic event like a crash to continue without intervention as it suits their purposes and timetable. In short, because many things are not controlled, does not mean that conspiracy is not out there. They try to be discreet, watch for anomalies that don't fit what would happen naturally. So a Hurricane Katrina does occur. And in fact, there is a creator God out there that every once in a while intervenes in order to make his timetable come to pass. So there's another element that I think we should all be aware of. But we have the Bank of International Settlements at the top of the pyramid. We've got the Russians and their KGB. We've got the Chinese and their agenda. We've got the Illuminati with their agenda. And then we have the creator of the universe who has his agenda. There's a number of competing agendas there. And then there's you and I, Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife. We don't have an agenda. We don't even know what the hell the agenda of the creator of the universe is. We go to church every Sunday, at least here in America, 65% of us go to church every Sunday. We're a religious people. And when it comes to the Bible, we're just as dumb as a box of rocks. We haven't got a clue as to what the hell the creator has in store for us. I suggest to my students that we get a handle on what the boss says he's going to do, in addition to what the Illuminati has in store, including the Bilderbergers, the Trilateralists, and the CFR, and the Travestock Commission. And there's a whole host and plethora of competing underground conspiratorial organizations worldwide. So it's not just the Trilateralists. There's a lot of people out there. A lot of people out there, and they have a goal. And this one world government is a goal that all of them share. What they don't all share is who's going to rise to the top and who's going to run this thing. And I don't think that the Chinese are going to sit back and let David Rockefeller and his clique run the world. I think they've got their own agenda. I think the Russians are sitting over there with their agenda. And then, of course, there's the Pope and Catholicism, and he's got his agenda. And these guys interact with one another. And then we have natural catastrophes. Then we have international monetary collapses like we're going through right now. And then we have God Almighty himself, and he's got an agenda. And when we start putting this together, you and I down here at the bottom get really confused, don't we? You know, who's doing what to who and how's it coming down? Now, in the course of human events, in my opinion, there are few circumstances or events of any major significance, such as war, assassinations, major changes in the control of people's destiny that has not been accomplished through the combined efforts of conspiring men. That should not be so difficult for normal men to accept or understand. As one historian put it, no one knows history unless they know the history of conspiracy. So simply put, evil men have always conspired to control the world for their own gain. But even though most people have no trouble seeing this idea operate in an organized criminal network, they have a hard time seeing how it could possibly control a democratic government where there are so many changes in leadership from seemingly opposing parties. So it is true that in an organization where the public has regular input, it is difficult for a conspiracy to have absolute control. In fact, it isn't necessary to have absolute control or influence on everyone, only on the ones that are allowed to control the key positions. Since these positions often come about through seniority or political spoils, conspiring powers have considerable time to influence and control those who are allowed to rise within the system to fill these vacancies, political vacancies. Now, as I speak, the president's health plan has now fallen into disfavor. There's a majority of people now opposed to it. That isn't going to stop it. You see, the people voted for Barack Obama in this country as a backlash against George Bush and the Republicans. Well, hell, the Republicans are controlled by the same conspirators as control the Democratic Party. So all you have here in America is a choice between the conspiratorial party A and conspiratorial party B. You're going to have national health care insurance. It doesn't make any difference whether there's a Republican office or a Democrat. I was telling one of my classes last year that it looks like to me that the Republicans in office, George Bush leading the tribe, or leading the troop, deliberately created as much hate and discontent against the Republicans and conservative movement as they possibly could in their 8 years in office, to create such hatred and such a backlash that the people of America would welcome another Franklin D. Roosevelt to bring in the coup de grace. And I think that's exactly what's happened. You can rest assured that every socialist practice, you can rest assured that gun control's coming, not at the top of the list. What they want first is control over your health and health care. Once they've got that, they got you by the short hairs. Gun control will follow, just like it did in Canada and Australia. Rest assured. It just isn't at the top of the list. Dianne Feinstein, who's been leading this gun grabbers lobby in Congress for the last 20 years or more, was on, I forgot, now I think it was Laird NewsHour, and he was being asked, you know, she was asked, is this at the top of the agenda? She said, no. We're going to bide our time, and we're going to make our move when the time is right. I mean, that's from the congressional number one gun grabber. When the time's right, that's when we'll make our move. Time isn't right yet. But make up your minds, coming. Now, when that comes, you know, all of us here have to live with these kinds of policies. Kind of like living in Germany in 1935 to 40. You know, we may oppose Hitler philosophically and politically, but, you know, on the bottom line, in the final analysis, Hitler's going to have his way, and this is the way things are going to be run. And how is that going to impact upon the average Joe Sixpack German in Bavaria? So it's time for all of us to wake up and smell the coffee. The train is coming down the track. Like it or lump it, the train is coming down the track. Now, do you think you can stand here in the middle of the tracks and stop the train, or do you think you might be wiser to just get off the tracks and let this train go through? No, the choice is yours. Now, it is true that in an organization where the public has regular input, it's difficult for a conspiracy to have absolute control. In fact, it isn't necessary to have absolute control or influence on everyone, just the people who count. That's what Joe Stalin said. It ain't the people that vote that counts, it's the people that counts the votes that counts. And you saw that in two elections with George Bush, in Florida in 2000 and Ohio in 2004. Now, the key to understanding how the present system works is found in the principle of using predictable men who are not knowing conspirators to carry out most projects. In this way, only a very few men at the very top echelons of power need to fully conspire, as long as there's a large pool of people that they can hire whose behavior is so predictable that they never have to reveal the conspiracy to them, and yet can accomplish all that they need them to do. This is, in fact, how the present conspiracy works, but there are a few basic principles a conspiracy must follow in order to make it operate smoothly in a democracy. So first, they must control the thinking of a majority of the people. Since a conspiracy very rarely has absolute military or police power, they must always keep the people from finding out the truth. This is a complex issue that has taken more than a century to refine and to perfect. It involves careful manipulation, not of everyone, but a careful manipulation of the majority with careful attention to mandatory public schooling and control over the ideology and the content of education. Now that they have accomplished. They started that project back in the 1830s. They got the ball really rolling in 1886 in California. And today, the federal government controls the curriculum in every public school in America. The ideology, the beliefs that we all have in evolution or creation or economy or government has already been pre-programmed into your curriculum. It's already in your computer. It was put there from the first grade on. And you're going to respond to it based upon your vanity, your jealousy, your lust, your greed, and your fear, whether you like it or not. If you can't control those five motivators, you can rest assured that your controller will control you and jerk your chain. It's the way human nature is. Now, once you understand that, you'll do well as a salesman. And Barack Obama is a great salesman. God, that guy is good. That guy is good. I wish I could say that I trained him. I can't, but whoever trained Barack Obama, I mean, that guy is one whale of a good salesman. Now, control of the press, number two, mostly to make sure that critical information is withheld from the public and occasionally to outright falsify and propagandize the public. Now, you know, from time to time, I bring you this story. You remember our story here from the guy? His name was John Swinton. Listen, this control of the press is a part and parcel of the protocols of the Learned Elders. We shall handle the press in the following way. John Swinton, clear back in 1880, said... Swinton was the guest of honor, remember, at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft. He was the editor of a newspaper in New York. And someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. See, we like to think of America as being the independent press, don't we? Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world history in America as an independent press. You know it and I know it. That was in 1880. Honest to God, do you believe that Brian Williams and Katie Couric are telling you the truth? Well, they do 75% of the time. And that's the way deception works. You see, if I always lied to you, you would always know the truth. And if I always told you the truth, you would always know the truth. Deception depends upon telling the truth. You cannot deceive people by lying to them all the time. You have to tell them the truth once in a while. The thing that creates deception, boys and girls, is truth plus error. You have to have truth plus error to equal deception. By God, these guys are masters at it, and John Swinton told you that in 1880. He said, there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Katie Couric has never had original thought on the CBS Evening News. And if that girl ever wakes up and ever iterates one original thought out of her brain, she will be history, just like Dan Rather. That's the bottom line. The news people, like Brian Williams and Katie Couric and the ABC guy, what's his name, Gibson? Nice people. God love them. Friendly, affable, likable. A con man has to be likable. Can you imagine a con man that was rude, brash, arrogant? Hell, he couldn't swindle anybody. A con man has to be smooth. Barack Obama is the consummate con man. Slick Willie, consummate con man. Franklin D. Roosevelt, he was the originator of the Slick Willie, consummate con man. Now, yes, men are important, but in order to move agendas, you've got to be a con man, and you have to be good. You have to be liked and likable. And there isn't anything about Barack Obama that isn't likable. God, the guy is just likable from top to bottom. Now, what part he plays in the conspiracy and how much he knows or doesn't know, I can't tell you that. I don't know. I don't know how much somebody knows or doesn't know, but I do know that you have to have control of the press and you have to have control of the public education system, and that's where government's at. And we can see this. There are people who have been in these institutions that see the truth and then they write about it or they spill the beans. Doesn't happen very often because the minute you do that, you're going to get fired. Now, Brian Williams is getting paid, last time I heard, $7 million a year for that anchor position. And people that are getting paid $7 million a year can say yes quite often. Yes, sir. Now, does he want to give up that prestige and that position by spilling the beans and telling us peons out here who wouldn't believe him and couldn't understand it if he did mess up? Not very likely. Now, John Swinton did. And occasionally, there will be some insider that spills his gut, spills the beans, like a George Orwell, so say, let me tell you, I'm going to write you a book. Let me tell you how this thing's coming down. And they will always be ostracized. They will always be persecuted. Many times they will be killed, like the Kennedy brothers. They'll be killed. You get crosswise of these guys, and that'll spell your doom. Now here comes a guy like Joel Skousen and his relatives, the guys that write conservative books. I've forgotten the names of all of them, but there's a number of them out there. Look up the name Skousen. You'll find a bunch of books out there written on conservative politics. And these guys are hated and vilified. They're called names. They're ridiculed and impugned, made fun of. You know, all right, well, so was Noah. You know, Noah was ridiculed and made fun of. But in the final analysis, when it got down to where the rubber meets the road or where the water met the water line on the ark, you know, that separated all of the conspirators and the non-conspirators right there. Truth met reality right there. All right, now, there's a little bit more to this. Now, it is true that an organization where the public has regular input is difficult for a conspiracy to control. But they have to control certain elements of it, like public education, the press, and then number three, cultivating believable and likable political leaders who can be predictably manipulated if they're not part of the conspiracy itself. Every leader must be an effective and believable liar in order to put out numerous brush fires of controversy. A conspiracy always makes mistakes which have to be covered up, like the Iran-Contra affair, or the Kennedy assassination, or the Twin Towers. You know, there's screw-ups that occur, and then you have to have passionate, consummate liars. George Bush was one of them. God love him. You know, nice guy. God, George was a nice, likable guy. And Barack Obama, nice, likable guy. Slick Willie, nice, likable guy. You know, Hillary Clinton, God love her, nice lady. Now, these people have an agenda, and this agenda includes taxes, regulation, socialism, wealth transfer, taking of your privacy, taking of your guns, licensing, health care control, banning midwives, banning homeschool, promoting and fostering public education, and so on. I mean, there's an agenda out there. They may actually believe in it. Hell, there are people that are communists out there that believe in communism. Communism has been a failure every place it's been adopted or tried. Socialism has been an abject failure for 5,000 years of human history. Every time it's tried, it fails. And yet you're going to get more of it. And those people probably believe in it. God, you know, I can't tell you that they do or don't. But it doesn't work, and it ain't good for you, and it ain't good for me. And then number four, the control of both political parties so that they can switch to Team B and give the appearance of reform while sabotaging true reform at the same time. George Bush was a master at that. You elected the Republican conservatives. Remember back in 2000, what do you thought you did? And when you elected them, they sabotaged the entire conservative movement. They turned the average Joe Sixpack American against conservative politics, maybe permanently. And he did a masterful job. That was Team A. Now, Barack Obama on Team B says, hey, do you want more of this? Well, God, nobody wanted any more of George Bush and Republicanism. And so now you've switched to Team B with Nancy, Harry, and Barack. You haven't advanced yourself one iota. What you've done here is you have switched to conspiratorial Team B, which has exactly the same, the very same agenda. They're going to raise your taxes. George Bush raised your taxes. George Bush offered you a tax reduction, which actually turned out to be the alternative minimum tax increase. Barack Obama is going to increase your taxes. It's a part of the program. Like it or lump it. So mandatory public schooling, control of the press, cultivating believable and likable political lying leaders, and control of both political parties are what we have to do in order to control a democracy. They've been in control of this one since the end of the Civil War. And there's an agenda that's aiming toward a new world order, a one-world government, which met its first demise at the Tower of Babel. We are back again creating the new Tower of Babel, the new one-world government. Like it or lump it. Hey, I'm out of time again here, kids. We're going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.